Psalms 85. But I'll tell you funny first. Is that okay? Doesn't sound like you want to hear one. So the teacher asked young Patrick Murphy, "What do you do at Christmas time?" Patrick addressed the class. "Well, Mrs. Jones, my 12 brothers and sisters and I go to midnight mass. We sing hymns, then we come home very late and put mince pies by the back door and hang up our stockings. Then all excited, we go to bed and wait for Father Christmas to come home with all our toys." "Very nice, Patrick," she said. "Now, Jimmy Brown, what do you do at Christmas?" "Well, Mrs. Jones, my sister and I also go to church with Mom and Dad, and we sing hymns and carols, and we get home ever so late. We put cookies and milk by the chimney, and we hang up our stockings. We hardly sleep waiting for Santa Claus to bring our presents." Realizing there was a Jewish boy in the class and not wanting to leave him out of the discussion, she asked, "Now, Isaac Cohen, what do you do at Christmas?" Isaac said, "Well, it's the same thing every year. Dad comes home from the office. We all pile into the Rolls Royce. Then we drive to Dad's toy factory. And when we get inside, we look at all the empty shelves and begin to sing, 'What a friend we have in Jesus.' Then we all go to the Bahamas." Oh, man. Cracks me up. All right. Okay, look, let's get into the Word. Okay. Psalms 85. Psalms 85. Verse 6, "Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your mercy, Lord, and grant unto us your salvation." Verse 8, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak." Everybody say, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly." I will hear what God the Lord will speak. He said, "Will you not revive us again?" And he said, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak." I want to talk to you about a revival, which I believe is God is going, you know, you'll hear a lot of different things because God's not just doing one thing. Yeah? So it's okay if somebody says 2015 is going to be a year of something else. Well, it's going to be a year of this. It'll be a year of that. It'll be a year of something else. It'll be a year of added blessing and in multiplication and another thing and another thing. Amen? It's not just one thing, but I know this, that it's going, and this is what I want to talk to you about tonight, is a revival of hearing the voice of God. This is 2015 is going to be a revival, a restoration, a reviving of you. You, everybody say you means me. You hearing the voice of God. Yeah? He said, "Will you not revive us again?" And then connected to that, he said, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak." The revival is connected to hearing the voice of God. You're not going to be revived without hearing God. Are you hearing me? And he said he'll speak peace. And that word peace is the word shalom. It means prosperity, health, wholeness to his people. But then notice, it says, "But let them not turn back to folly." Let them not turn back to folly. Now we're going to come back to that. So how many of you, who will remind me of that? Okay, all right, you're going to remind me of that. Let them not turn back to folly. He said we're going to have a... He said, "Will you not revive us?" And he said, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak." So that's part of the means of the revival, is you and I, the body of Christ, hearing his voice, and that when we hear, it's going to produce peace, prosperity, well-being, health, all kinds of blessing is coming when we hear the voice of God. Yeah? Praise God. How many of you ever heard God before? How many of the rest of you need to get saved? Now, Romans 10:17, I want to just lay some foundational things here. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by, and hearing by the word of God. And then Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. So since faith comes by hearing, and it's impossible to please him without faith, then it's impossible to please him without hearing. You can't please him without faith. Faith comes by hearing. So you can't please him without hearing from him. In other words, it doesn't please him for you to have a secondhand relationship with him. He wants personal downloads from heaven. He's got personal downloads from heaven for you. And that's how revival happens. It's when you and I are awakened to the fact that God's got things he wants to reveal to you and me, and he's not going to reveal it through anyone else. It's going to happen through you hearing. You hearing. You. Say me. Hearing what God the Lord will speak. Yeah? How many of you want to please God? You can't please him without hearing from him. Impossible. Because faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, it's got to be in line with the word. Then John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Everybody say, I'm a good sheep. Bah. See, but sheep hear and they follow. They hear and they follow. How many of you are his sheep? Sheep hear and follow. They hear and obey. They hear and respond. How many of you are married here today? Okay? How many of you wives that are married here would like to know what it is that your husband desires? But you want to know what your husband desires in his bride or in his wife. Same thing Jesus desires, a responsive bride. A responsive bride. Yeah? You want me to get into a marriage seminar here? A responsive bride. That's what he desires. He desires a responsive bride, and not one that digs her heels in and, you know, fights and fusses and nags. And do you want me to add any more? Okay, and you want to know what? How many of y'all wives want? I mean, husbands want to know what your wives want. You better lift your hand. She wants a husband that is connected to her. That is focused on her. Yeah? Jesus is focused on us, isn't he? And that's what she wants. She wants intimate communication, words with meaning. How was your day? Good. What happened? Nothing. That doesn't fly, man. You gotta talk. Everybody say talk. Praise God. So his sheep hear his voice and follow him. And then in verse 4, chapter 10, verse 4, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So everyone say, I'm his sheep, and I hear his voice, and I know his voice. That means you recognize it. Not only do you hear it, but you recognize it. If you hear his voice and you recognize it's him, then you follow him, right? And that's the key to revival. That's the key, is when God's people hear his voice and follow him in simple things that he gives us to do, instructs us to do. You're his sheep if you're born again. So stop exempting yourself from this truth. You can hear him and follow him. You can. You can. In 2015, you can hear him and follow him like never before. And if each of us would hear him and follow him daily, we would see and we would be the next great revival and move of God in the earth. We would see it and we would be it. If you and I would just say, Lord, here's my commitment to you this year, is I'm going to hear your voice. Once I recognize it's you, I'm going to follow you, whatever you tell me to do. Then revival is a result. He said, will you not revive us? And then, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. There's no secret to revival. You and I hearing God, following him, doing what he tells us to do. It's real simple. It's not difficult, not hard, it's not rocket science. Now, look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. We're just going to look at a couple more verses and then I want to launch off into something here. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5. Galatians 3 and verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Which one is it? Works of the law or the hearing of faith? Okay, miracles. And now, look at this. Sometimes it helps just to look up these words. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you. Do you know what that word supply there means? It means full supply. The fact that the Greek word is the word epikoregio, which where we get our word choreography. Okay? And what he's saying, the full supply or operation of or choreography of the Spirit comes by the hearing of faith. So how many of you want to connect with the Spirit and what he wants to do in the earth? That you want to know connect with his operation, connect with what his desire is, what the flow of the Spirit, the way that happens, and the operations of the gifts, it happens by the hearing of faith. How many of you want to see miracles, and how many of you want to do more miracles? There's no secret how it happens. Right here, he told you, it's by the hearing of faith. It's real simple. You're his sheep. You hear his voice. When you hear his voice, you know it's him. You follow him. As long as it lines up with the word, we'll maybe Sunday we'll get into more detail about. Maybe we'll just do this whole thing about a school of hearing. But the bottom line is miracles, signs, wonders, the operation of the Spirit. It's not rocket science how it happens. He tells you right here. It's by the hearing of faith. That's how Jesus did it. That's how the apostles did it. That's how the disciples did it. That's how the disciples today do it. We listen, we follow, we hear, we follow, and then God does what he wants to do in the earth. It's real simple. How many of you would like to see more miracles? So you've been praying for them? Well, pray no more. I mean, I'm not saying don't pray, but I'm just saying, look, don't. Respond. Don't just pray. Amen? Respond. It happens by the hearing of faith through you and me. When his body starts placing confidence, when you and I start placing confidence in hearing his voice accurately and clearly in line with his word, nothing will stop the move of God and the revival that God that from happening in the earth and that God intends. And I'm telling you, God's not done moving. I mean, I thank God for what the move of God in 1993 and 1994 and 1995 and 1996. And how many of you know he didn't just move in 1993? He's been moving every day and every year since. And it just gets gooder and gooder. It doesn't get worser and worser. Pardon my English. Here's the deal. He wants to advance his kingdom. He wants to, he desires to have his way and move by his Spirit, do miracles, signs, and wonders in the earth, but he's waiting till his enemies be made his footstool through you and I. He's waiting for his bride to hear and follow him. That's it, guys. And so we're waiting on him. He's not. No, you're not waiting on him. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you and me to get off our blessed assurance and step out and say and get out and walk. Look, Lord, I'm willing to follow you. If I know it's you, I'm there. I'm going to do it. I'm going to move. I'm going to go. I'm going to pray. I'm going to cast out devils. I'm going to heal the sick. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. I'm going to get up on a platform and sing. I'm going to learn to play the piano. I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. That's what I'm going to do. If I hear you, because when you step into that, you're stepping into His grace, and then He has freedom to flow through you with that gift to bring His life, bring His love, bring His Spirit, bring revival through you. Look at your neighbor and say, I know He's talking to you. There's no doubt. Now, this is what the Lord just dropped in my heart. I knew He spoke this to me, that there's going to be a revival of hearing His voice, and I was going to go a different direction. He's dropped this in my heart. Look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3, and you know, I'm not going to focus on the negative, but we have to see why. Okay, if He wants to move, and He wants miracles, signs, and wonders. He's speaking to us. Why don't we see more miracles, signs, and wonders, and more move of God? Why don't we see more people responding to the Spirit of the Lord in the church today? Because if we did, you're not deaf, are you? And God's not dumb. He's speaking. Yeah? Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Verse 10, therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. Why didn't they know His ways? Because they didn't follow Him. They embraced their own way. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And you can't enter His rest either without hearing and following Him. Now, I understand Jesus already provided it all at the cross. The finished work of the cross, I fully embrace. But the finished work of the cross does not exempt you and I from fulfilling our part of the unfinished work of the church. Are you listening to me? It's not the will of God for you and I just to... Entering into rest doesn't mean you sit on your blessed assurance and do nothing. The message of the grace of God is not a ticket to passivity and laziness and doing nothing. Good preaching, Pastor Greg. Hallelujah. So I swore in my wrath they'll not enter my rest. Beware, brethren. So He's talking to you and I here. Beware of something, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Now look at verse 15. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. I thought He just said that. Didn't He just say that back in verse 7? Here again. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. And then He goes on and talks about how they did that again. And in verse 18, and to whom He swore that they would not enter into His rest. for those who did not obey. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now look at verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after a long time, as it has been said, today, everybody say today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Three times. It's actually, you know, they've got a chapter numbers there, but it's in the same context of what he's communicating. Three times he emphasizes, the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice. How many of you want to hear his voice today? Okay, here's what he tells you to do. Don't harden your hearts. Three times. Don't harden your hearts. Is he talking to you here? Is he talking to me? Today. How many of you today, how many of you were entering into a new day here in just 38 minutes? Right? We're entering into a new day today. If you're going to hear his voice, now what do we already learn? If you're going to have revival, if you're going to have a move of God, if you're going to have miracles, if you're going to cooperate with the choreography of the Spirit, you and I are going to have to hear from God. And now he says here today, three times, today if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Do you think he means something when he's emphasizing something when he says it three times? Strong emphasis from the Holy Spirit. If you want to hear his voice today, don't harden your hearts. He's telling us in strong terms here the reason why more of God's people are not hearing from him, and the reason why we're not seeing more miracles, the operation of the Spirit, the move of the Spirit, is because today, as then, people are hardening their hearts to him. You say, well, not me. I know. That's why God sent me here to preach this message. For all the people that you're going to pass this CD out to. Now remember what I told some of you to remind me about? 85 verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak in verse 8, but let them not turn back to folly. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, but then he put a caveat on it and he said, but let them not turn back to folly. It's the same thing as what he's saying here in Hebrews 3 and 4, don't harden your hearts. I'm speaking, but you're not gonna walk into that place of rest of the promised land that I have for you and all the blessing and the revival you've been praying about if you harden your heart or if you turn back to folly. It's the same thing. When we yield, that word folly means foolishness. When we yield to foolish thinking, reasoning, acting, we can harden our hearts and miss the voice of God and the miracles and the move of God. And isn't that the case so many times? It's we know God's speaking to us, but then we start leaning to our understanding. And we run through everything through the screen of our understanding. And as long as it's not going to, you know, cause any risk or any problems or, you know, upset anybody, you know, I'll obey God. Well, you just knocked out most of the things God would ever ask you to do. Because when God leads you to do something, many times it's a pride buster. It's not just going to give you warm fuzzies about making you about your image and how this is going to make you look. Are you with me? Man, I've had God speak some things to me that were just, in the natural, was just outlandish. And not ever, you know, not everybody just jumped on my bandwagon right away. But the bottom line is, I've just made a decision. that when I got born again, and then when I got filled with the Spirit, I don't belong to myself anymore. I'm not just taking up space and time for my selfish purposes. God's got a purpose for my life, and I want to fulfill it. And I'm going to hear from Him, and I'm going to follow Him if it hair lips the devil and the Pope and you. I could give a rip. You know, I'm not old, but I'm not as young as I used to be. And the older you get, the less you give a rip. You know? Praise God. Oh, man. You know, you comb your hair and you do everything you can and try to, and one, you know, after a while you don't have enough hair for it to look good. So you just forget it. Just cut it like Charlie's and just, who cares? Amen? But look, guys, he's speaking to us and saying, I'm speaking to you. And you want revival. You want the move of God. Calvary Cathedral International, you want the move of God. You are a church. And I'm not speaking just to the pastor. I'm speaking to the church. You are a church that is a cutting edge to the move of God. And so many churches today have left that. It's just seeker sensitivity on steroids. And it's, you know, I mean, I'm not saying they're not reaching anybody and they've got to stand before God. I'm not judging anyone, but that's not who I am. Because if God spoke to them in the middle of the service, I mean, you know, the President of the United States couldn't get in there, much less the Holy Ghost. And there's, you know, no move of God, no miracles of God, or very little. And it's time that we step it up and say, I'm not settling for anything less than what God wants and what the Holy Ghost wants to do and what He wants to do through me and what He wants to do through the church. But I've got to let, my problem is my peanut brain, my seamer. Well, it just doesn't seem like, well, that'll be a good thing. Well, that's your problem. You need to adjust your seamer. And you need to let God roast your peanut. Your understanding is not Lord, Jesus is. And if we're going to have a move of God, it's going to come through you and me, hearing God and following Him and not turning back to folly by yielding to reasoning and by not hardening our hearts to what He's saying He wants us to do. All I've got to know is if it's, Lord, are You speaking to me? And if it's You, and I know it's You, if it lines up with Your Word, if I have peace about it, if it's not, you know, something that's going to hurt people, I'm going to, if it's love, if it's not selfishness, I'm going to go with it. And if I miss it, I miss it. But I want a move of God. I'm ruined. Forget it. I'm ruined. Pastor ruined me. Rodney ruined me. Kenneth Hagin ruined me. John Osteen ruined me. Praise God. I can't settle for anything less than the Word and the Spirit. And I'm not happy unless that's happening. And I'm yielding to the Word and the Spirit. And I'm letting Him have His way. And that's what my desire is. And I believe it's my desire because it's His desire. That's His desire for you and me, for His church today. So, if you will hear His voice today, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. So, this is what he downloaded in me today. And I don't preach like this. I don't get these acronyms and stuff like that, but I got something like that today. It's just all these things that, you know, that cause us to harden our hearts. It really all starts with one word, fear. Fear. And then he gave me five F's that come under fear. And so I'm just going to give you what he gave me. The things that cause us to harden our hearts and not hear his voice. And, you know, I wanted to just kind of dive in and talk about how you could recognize his voice accurately and clearly, because there's all kinds of people have all kinds of goofed up ideas about how to hear God, and they don't know how to run it through the screen of his word and other things. But this is, you know, this is what he downloaded to me. The reason why people aren't hearing God is that they're hardening their hearts. And you harden your heart so much, then you get deceived, and then God just lets you let the rough end drag. You know what I mean by that? Just kind of lets you have your own way. And I don't want that, and God doesn't want that. So why do people harden their hearts? Why do they turn back to folly or lean to their understanding instead of hearing and following him? I mean, if that should just simply be our purpose in life. It's once I'm born again, let me tell you this quick story about this gal in Australia that we went to, who is the Bible school director there. We went to teach in the Bible school, did a pastor's conference, and this girl, her name's Lisa Hamilton. Lisa was one of my students at Karis Bible College just about two or three years ago. And I didn't know this while she was going to school. And we got over there, and Janice and I are sitting there at a restaurant across from the ocean, and then she's telling us her story. And she's saying, you know, I came within 2 days of dying. She said, I had 6 months when I was 17 years old. I had 6 months of a rebellious spell, and I got off into some things I shouldn't have gotten into, and I contracted hepatitis C. And if you know anything about that, it can incubate in your body for up to 35 years. And your liver will slough it off. And you know, but until there comes a point, and it's typically in that 25 to 35 year range where your liver can't handle anymore, and your liver will start shutting down. So 35 years, she 6 months of sowing bad seed, 35 years later, her liver's shutting down. And then she went through a season of doing everything they could to help it, and then because they didn't have health insurance, she couldn't get on the list to get a liver transplant, and she was 2 days away from death. And finally they went to a doctor, and then she vomited all over the doctor's desk and clothes. And so he put her in the hospital, and while she was in the hospital, she was then 2 hours away from death, and she got a transplant, and she got better after about 6 months. She was totally normal, and they were very successful in business, and I mean it was like, once she got better. Her family would tell us, her husband told, she wasn't there half the time before, you know, all this, because she just was that close to death. And when she came back and got healthy, she got disinterested in business. And she said, you know what, my life is on loan to God. Do you understand all of us are that way? Do you understand all of us without him? Where would we be? Do you understand? But I know a little bit of what that's like, because I had cancer, and the doctors said they didn't know if they could save my voice box. And man, when you hear that, you get serious with God. Well, when I was healed, after that it was like I became disinterested in business. And it was like my life doesn't belong to me anymore. And so it was like, Lord, whatever you put in my heart, that's what I'm going to do. I don't care. Doesn't matter. I mean, this girl was 2 hours away from death. And now she's alive. It's like, praise God, I'm alive. Lord, but I'm alive to serve you. Well, listen, whether you have that experience or not, it doesn't matter. You don't know how close you've ever been to death. But you don't belong to yourself. We're bought with a price. We're not our own. Are you with me? And so if we're going to fulfill the purpose of God, we've got to get to a point where we just say, Lord, I'm not hardening my heart to your voice anymore because I don't belong to myself. I'm yours, God. Say I'm yours, God. And so here are the things that will cause us to harden our hearts. It's first of all, fear of finances or the lack of finances. You can just put finances. I can't obey God because I don't have enough money, or I won't have enough money if I obey Him. When God calls you to do something, how many of you know He knows how much you have or don't have, and He doesn't care. Do you understand? He doesn't. That doesn't stop Him from calling you. Are you with me? Well, I know God wants me to go to Bible school. I know He wants me to start a church. I know He wants me to start a business. I know He wants me to do this or do that. But, you know, if I do that, I'm going to have to leave the security of my job. I'm going to have to tap into my nest egg. I'm going to have to lose my retirement. So, you know, I'm just going to put it off and put it off and put it off. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. You just hardened your heart. And so we don't see the miracle of that business being birthed to advance the kingdom. We don't see the miracle of that church that started. We don't see the miracle of what the transformed life that would happen if you just obey Him and go to Bible school. And subsequently the lives of others that will be changed. Are you with me? We don't see the move of God in the choreography of the Spirit because God forbid that you know, He would ask you to do something that was different than your financial goals. Good preaching, Pastor Greg. Today, if you'll hear His voice, do not harden your hearts to what God is saying because of finances. When God called me to go to Bible school, man, I mean, it was like we were making a lot of money, and when I went into ministry, it didn't make quite as much, you know, at that time. But how many of you know God's not calling you to a vow of poverty? He's calling you to a life of trust. And He will take care of you. I've got a good friend of mine that I talked to a few months ago that is miserable in his job and his position, and he knows God has something else for him, but he can't leave it because he makes too much money. Today, if you'll hear His voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. Do you know that Mark chapter 4, I'm not going to look there and right now, I don't have time. Mark chapter 4, 18 and 19 describes the thorny ground or the thorny heart where the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things choke the word, and that heart becomes unfruitful. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. If you want to hear from God today, money cannot be your Lord. And it cannot be, it's, okay, you could consider it, but then consider it not a reason not to follow God. Number 2, family. Everybody say family. Why do people harden their hearts? Number 1, finances. Number 2, family. What are they going to say? What are they going to think if I obey what God's telling me to do? I mean, my parents may write me out of their will. Hey, you're in God's will. That's enough. You've got His inheritance. That's enough. Houses and riches are inheritance of fathers. He's your father. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, when I left my business to go into ministry, my family, especially my dad, thought I'd lost my mind because we were making a lot of money. And most of the time, your family will not understand your decision to follow the Lord. What they're not up on, they're usually down on. And they'll criticize. How many of you know Jesus' brothers and sisters didn't understand his mission? But Mark 3:35 says, "For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother." Whoever does the will of God. Well, Jesus is defining his family as those who are committed to hear and follow God. That's his family. And that needs to be your family. I mean, I love my parents, I love my children, I love my grandchildren, I love my brother and sister, but they're not my Lord, and I can trust God with them as I follow him. But some people won't make a decision. They're going to follow God because of their children or grandchildren. Well, you're not going to stand before them one day. You're going to stand before the Lord. Are you with me? You know, my oldest son, Brian, when we moved from Houston, Texas to Decatur, Texas, when we were talking to our kids about it, he said, "Dad, the best place for me and the rest of our family is for you and Mom to follow Jesus." 11 years old. Number three, friends. Everybody say friends. Boyfriends, girlfriends, best friends. How many of you know none of them can come close to the friend we have in Jesus? I didn't respond to the prompting of the Spirit to get born again when I was 14. I could have been born again when I was 14. I heard the gospel, but I didn't because I heard all these people that responded and got born again get a call to Africa or China or India or somewhere, some godforsaken place. And I was concerned that if I went there, that no girl would follow me there and I'd be alone the rest of my life. Really? I know that sounds ignorant, but that's where some people are today. They're going to let their friends or their boyfriends or their girlfriends rule their decisions. Listen, if you want to hear his voice, don't harden your heart because of what you think about what your friends are going to think or say. You know, you may lose one set of friends following Jesus, but you'll gain true friends who will really love you for who you are when you follow him. And some people then are just so fearful about moving out in the gifts because here, even in church, you're afraid what's somebody going to think of you. Man, if you knew how little they thought of you anyway, you wouldn't worry about it. But true friends will think the best of you even when you mess up and make a mistake. It's number three. Number four, foes. Finances, family, friends, foes. Those who oppose you. Those who accuse you. Those who betray you. Okay, listen to me. Those who oppose you. Those who accuse you. Those who betray you. Do not allow yourself to come underneath the authority of their words or their lies or their accusations. Do not let their words and their lies stop you from obeying God because you fear the same kind of repercussion again. I know when we went through an involuntary church plant several years ago, otherwise known as a church split, people wrote letters about me to the whole church and to other people, and they were lies. And I found myself defending myself to myself. And I was doing that. Pastor was having early morning prayer, and I was doing that during early morning prayer one day here at Calvary. And I heard this voice say, "Whose father is speaking that about you?" What do you mean? He said, "It's not me." He said, "It's not me." So stop listening to that. Stop defending yourself for that. And you just go on and follow me. Are you with me? Listen, guys, if you're going to hear God and have a move of God, you've got to stop. You've got to stop letting those foes get in your head. And I know it's tough. I've been there. I did it, and the Holy Spirit and the presence of God had to help me out of it. And Psalm, you could read the whole Psalm 27. I'm not going to take time to do that. But look at Psalm 31. Psalm 31. And we've got the airport in sight. We're gonna get done here in just a moment. But look at Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 12. I am forgotten like a dead man out of mind. I'm like a broken vessel, for I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away from my life. But as for me, I trust in you, Lord. You see what he did? I say, you're my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I've called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you've laid up for those who fear you, which you've prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. Now watch this, verse 20. Man, I just meditated on this when all that was going on. You shall hide them. He's going to hide us in the secret place of his presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, guys, do not let what other people say about you, enemies, people that oppose you, people that betray you, don't let that get in your head. And don't let that stop you from hearing God and obeying God. Then number five, future. Everybody say future. Too many of us are security-minded instead of God-minded. He is my hope. Say, he's my hope. He's my future. He's my fortress. He's my strong tower. Psalm 31:15, my times are in your hand. Psalm 91:16, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Listen, guys, you don't have to worry about your future obeying God. You obey God, your future's bright. 2015 is bright. We're going to have a great year. We're going to have the power of God, is miracles of God, increase of God. We're going to see things happen, abundance. You're going to hear a lot of different words about 2015, but it's all going to happen. This is the way it happens. You and I hearing his voice and not hardening our hearts. Not letting fear stop you from obeying. Two verses and I'm done. 2 Corinthians 10. You see this preached. You hear this preached about tearing down strongholds, but then people read it, but they don't go on and read. Sometimes you need to go on and read the rest of the verse. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments or imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And everybody stops there. Look at verse 6. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Did you know that your obedience to the voice of God is a knockout blow to the enemy? It brings revenge against all spirits of disobedience. He's fearful and trembling in his boots at the child of God who will just hear and obey him. It's time to break off every chain of fear and trust the Lord with our finances, Trust the Lord with our family. Trust the Lord with our friends. Trust the Lord with our foes. And trust the Lord with our future. There is a revival coming that is waiting on you and I hearing God and obeying Him. Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. There are signs, wonders, and miracles, salvation and freedom for captives and people who are waiting on you and I just to simply say, you know what? Revival's coming and it's coming through me, and I will hear what God the Lord will speak, and I will not harden my heart when He speaks. I'm not going to bow to fear of you know, finances, fear of family, fear of friends, fear of foes, fear of future. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to move into my future. I'm going to move in. This is going to be a good day. This is going to be a good year. This is going to be a good life. We're going to have the move of God. We're not going to have anything less. Amen. How many of you with me? How many of you with God? More. How many of you just say, I'm throwing off the chains of fear. I'm going to obey God. I'm asking, are you going to obey God? In 2015, you going to obey God? You know, we might just have a service Sunday night where I'm going to test you. I'm going to test your fear. We're going to knock it in the head. We're going to let you hear God and obey and speak and flow and minister and let God have His way. Amen. 2015, it's a year of revival, of hearing the voice of God. We're going to hear God, and we are not going to harden our hearts. But we all face fear, but what are you going to do with it? I'm going to break it off. I'm not going to follow that. I'm going to follow the Lord. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Could y'all come?